It's the day of Pentecost, and there are many thousands and thousands and thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands, flooding into Jerusalem for this feast. And the Spirit comes on the disciples, and they start speaking in languages. Amazing things are happening, and there's a bit of a ruckus. And people are asking, what's going on? What does it mean? Peter preaches this amazing sermon, basically tells them that Jesus is the Christ, the one that they crucified, has been raised from the dead. And he preaches this sermon from the Old Testament that has them cut to the heart. And so many of them say, what shall we do? And Peter says, repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he continues to exhort them with many more words, and they are baptized. And that day, out of all those thousands of people, 3,000 of them were added to the church that day. And so when we get to verse 42, when it says, and they, it's talking about these 3,000 new converts. So Acts 2:42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Devotion is not unique. This morning we're going to look at three big points. Number one, devotion is not unique. Now, the church is not distinctive simply because it's a group of people who are devoted. There's many ways in which we can be devoted in life, isn't there? Look at your brother Alan there, who sometimes cycles to work, and he's not like an environmental nut. But he's devoted to training his body because he's an athlete. He's devoted to beating his body into submission, as Paul would say. And that affects what he does, the time he spends, what he spends his money on, the energy on. Before I was a Christian, I was absolutely devoted to being a DJ. I spent my time on it, all my time on it, all my money on it, my energy on it. Many people are devoted to many things. It's not about the being devoted as such, but the question is, to what? To what are we devoted? Number two, devotion is not just for the devout. It's not about being religious or pious, although some people will say so-and-so exercises religiously every morning. Or so-and-so watches football religiously every week. Or so-and-so checks their Facebook religiously every morning. And being devoted is not about ramping up your morning devotions until you reach the level of a monk. Rather, it's about making yourself continually ready and available for a specific thing, giving an almost exclusive priority to this particular thing that you're devoted to. So you might think that the word devotion sounds a bit too pious or a bit religious, as though it's only for people who wear robes and live in monasteries. It's only for people who can spend hours upon hours in their morning reading. It's only for people who can escape the chaos of the real world. But that's not it. Actually, it's much more practical and applicable in the chaos than you think. So the meaning of the word, Fiona explored this earlier on, and sometimes, if we're not careful as Christians, we can end up making a spectrum of spirituality, as if some things are more spiritual or less spiritual than others, and that by doing certain things, we become more spiritual or less spiritual the more or less we do these things. But the Bible doesn't present spirituality like that, it doesn't. In fact, it's less a spectrum and more binary. Here's how the Bible puts it often. If you are in Christ, you are spiritual because you are born of the Spirit. If you're not in Christ, you're not, and you do not understand the things of the Spirit. And that's just to say that we shouldn't think of devotion or doing devotions as though we are becoming spiritual in doing so. That's not what it's about. Many good things follow from devotion, but it's not about becoming spiritual. If you are believing in Jesus this morning, then you are spiritual. And you're no less spiritual than any other Christian. So let's not think that others who do more daily devotions are more spiritual and we are less. And also let us never think that if we do more devotionals, that we are more spiritual and others less. That's not what being devoted is or does. And the word devoted in this passage, actually, and they devoted themselves, the word that Luke uses here is used perhaps just a handful of times in the New Testament. And mostly it's used in Acts. It's a word peculiar to Luke. He uses it quite a lot. And interestingly, if you search through the Old Testament for the word devoted, more often than not, it will be talking about things being devoted to destruction. Let us not devote things to destruction. We know that that's the job of our toddlers and children. Destructive play. But in the New Testament, it's used a handful of times, mostly in Acts. But for instance, in Mark chapter 3, devotion, the word, is used in relation to a boat. Jesus wanted a boat devoted for himself. Now, that doesn't mean the boat needs to get up early every day and read its little devotional book. But it basically means that the boat is standing by. Have that boat ready to be used at any moment. A devoted boat. And another similar use is in Acts chapter 10 of Cornelius. Cornelius, the centurion, has this group of personal attendants. Now, it says Cornelius was a devout man, but that's not the word. That's not where the word appears. The word appears when it talks about his personal attendants. That's the devoted word. See, he's got a group of people who are devoted to serving him at any moment, standing by, always ready for any request. They are devoted to Cornelius and anything he needs. And Luke uses the same word of Simon the magician in Acts chapter 8. When Philip came and preached the gospel, then Simon the magician just wouldn't leave his side. He was devoted to him. He just followed him about. He was joined at his hip because Philip was the one that had the words of eternal life. He was the one preaching the gospel, so Simon just wouldn't leave him alone. He was devoted to him. So being devoted is kind of like being the boat or being the personal attendants. And the point is, you will always find nearby the thing that they're devoted to. You'll always be nearby the thing that you're devoted to, always ready to serve that thing. So in our passage, when we think about these new believers, 3,000 new believers being devoted to particular things, let's notice a couple of things, just two things that Luke highlights in the way that he says this, because Luke is the one that chose this word. He chose this way to write it, and this is what he wants to highlight. Number one, wherever these things are, the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, the prayers, wherever these things are, these new believers were always nearby. That's what Luke's saying. That was the business of these new believers, was to always be nearby these things. And number two, wherever these things were, the new believers were always ready to be the personal attendants of these things. Always ready to serve, always ready to give their time, priority, energy, resources to these particular things. And so this is what makes a church distinctive. Not simply that we're devoted, many people are devoted, but the things that they were devoting themselves to is what made them distinctive. Because they were controversial. They were against the flow of the world. And if they were against the flow of the world, then why were they doing that? Why would 3,000 people devote themselves to things that are against the grain of the world? It's not as if we're all expected to reach level 10 of devotion before we become proper Christians. But the point is that to not devote yourself to these things is actually detrimental to our faith. For instance, these new disciples, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, which is basically the teaching of Jesus, the truth. Because this was the truth about God. They devoted themselves always nearby, the truth of God, the truth about Jesus, the truth about humanity and about sin and death and about forgiveness and life. Remember back in John chapter 6, Jesus was telling the people that he's the bread from heaven, the bread of life, that he came from heaven and he is the source of life. Life is only found in Jesus, only found in Jesus. Where do you think life comes from? See, Jesus is the one who came from heaven to give life. All things were created through him. Not anything that was made was not made without him. John 1:18, no one has ever seen God. No one has ever seen God. But the only God who is at the Father's side, the Son, has made him known. John 3:13, no one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. You want to know what heaven is like? You want to know what God is like? Then take it from the only one who has seen God, the Son who is by the Father's side, the one who came from there and ascended back there. John 1:4, in him, that is Jesus, was life. In Jesus was life. John 5:21, for as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. John 5:26, for the Father has life in himself, self-existent. So he granted the Son also to have life in himself. John 6:51, Jesus said, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. Do you see the running theme here? Life is not something that we have independently. Life is not something that came about by accident. Jesus has life in himself. He is self-existent. Not only is he self-existent, he is the source of all life. Life doesn't come from anywhere else. So to reject Jesus is to reject life. Jesus is a man absolutely buzzing with life because he's the divine Son. He's buzzing with life. Life just comes from him. So if we have come to the knowledge that Jesus is the bread of life, and we know how much earthly bread is a daily provision, then how much more should we want the bread of heaven every day? Thing is, in John chapter 6, after Jesus said some of these things, many people turned away from him, walked away. Jesus turned to the 12 and said, do you want to walk away as well? And Peter said, and he got it. Peter said, Lord, to whom would we go? Where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. And we've believed and come to know that you're the Holy One of God. Peter knew there was nowhere else to turn. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. Now, I know next week Thomas will go further into what it is to be devoted to God's word, but I would be remiss if I didn't mention it a little, because it's not just being devoted that makes us distinctive. Anyone can be devoted. It's what we are devoted to that's important. There are many Christians who just turn off at the word doctrine, as if doctrine is just for preachers and professors. But here's the thing, if we only knew, if we only realized how much every single day we are being indoctrinated by the world. See, people might say it's not about doctrine, it's about Jesus. Yeah, that's true. But how are we to even know who Jesus is without any doctrine to tell us who he is? I mean, where do we get this information from? Where do we get the knowledge of Jesus from except through the apostles' teaching? They were his witnesses to take his truth to the world. Even Paul himself, who wrote most of the New Testament, Paul himself said in Philippians 3:10, I want to know Christ. Like, if anyone knows him, it's you, Paul. He says, I want to know Christ. That's my aim. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. And then he says, not that I've already obtained this or I'm perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Do you see that? being devoted to these things is not to become more spiritual, but to know more the one who made you his own. That's what it's about. If you want to know the one who is the way in a world when many people are telling you to go a different way, then you need this. If you want to know the truth in a world full of lies and deception, why wouldn't you devote yourself to this? If you want life, and if you want to know life in a world that doesn't control or supply life, you're going to go after Jesus like Peter did, like there's no other option. Because here's the thing, if you only knew how much you were being preached to every single day by the world, with messages that are neither true nor do they lead to life, then you would sit through any length of sermon from the apostles' teaching. You would sit through any singing and praying and teaching of the apostles' teaching. You might say, yeah, well, that's fine if it's true. But how are we going to know it's true? How will you know it's true unless you devote yourself to it? It's like they used to do, and you've probably heard this before, when they were studying counterfeit money. The best way to recognize counterfeit money is to study the real thing. Devote yourself to the words of eternal life. See, what teaching are you giving your ear to? What words are you giving your time to? What words are you paying attention to? Words of life or words of death? Because if you aren't actively devoting yourself to something, you will by default hear more of the world's mixed message of self-gain and false hope than you will of truth. Devotion is not just for the devout. Whether you devote yourself or not doesn't avoid being influenced. You'll be feeding on something or another, whether you're deliberate or not. But here's the thing, when you recognize, when you see just what the world is feeding you and what it's doing to you, and then you taste the truth of Jesus, why would you not, as Peter said, devote yourself to words of eternal life? Nowhere else to go. When you see what spending certain time with certain people does to you, could be the wrong people, could be the right people, surely you'll want to devote yourself to the right kind of people. You want to devote yourself to people who are going to speak truth to you, who are going to love you, people who can let you know who Jesus is. People who love the true King Jesus and love the truth. People who live in the light and don't try and hide their sin in the dark. People who serve one another, not themselves. People who want to speak truth rather than lies. What are you devoted to? Who are you devoted to? And thirdly, devotion is not something someone else will do for you. Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves. That's not to say that you won't be fed when you come along and stuff, like a newborn on milk until it's old enough for meat. But your health, your growth, your joy as a Christian is not going to happen by someone else doing something to you. It's not. Rather, by you giving yourself to certain things. See, the truth is, whether deliberately or not, you're going to give your time and priority to one thing or another. What is it? What is that thing? What does it do for you? Does it benefit you? Does the fact that it takes your priority then benefit the relationships you have? For instance, some people misunderstand this whole love God first thing. Love God first, really? More than my wife? More than my children and my family? Love God first. It's a misunderstanding to think that that's a negative thing. See, what you misunderstand when you think like that is you don't realize that the more you love God, the more you love others. The more you love God, the more you're able to love others. Your love for God will set the tone of your love both for others and for yourself. You cannot love yourself, you cannot love others till you love God. That will set the tone for how much you love yourself and how much you love others. And how can I say that? Is that true? How can I say that? Well, let me say this. Because although we are totally, truly, utterly marred by sin, God made us in His image. And God has given us His own Son that we might be redeemed. God loves us such that He died to rescue us. And that's not because we are all so important. It tells us something about God. See, no one else in all of creation has demonstrated more love for you than God. No one else in all of creation has demonstrated more love for you than God. No one else in all of creation has demonstrated more love for people who you might dislike than God. See, the more you love God, the more you will love others and yourself as God does. If we could see ourselves, if we could see other people like God sees them, the more you love God, the more you will be able to love others. So even when your child asks you a question that is quite awkward and difficult to answer, "Daddy, do you love God more than me?" And you look into those eyes that you love, this is what you would say: "My dear child, the more I love God, the more I love you." It's not one or the other. The relationships that you have will be affected by your devotion. What you devote yourself to will affect both you and the relationships you have. So the question is, what are you giving your priority to? What are you giving your time to? What is that thing that you're never far away from? Is it with you right now? Is it your phone? Maybe you didn't decide one day to devote yourself, but it's effectively happened. You're giving your time and priority to something. Whether deliberate or not, what you are devoted to will be something that your friends could easily point out. Maybe it's your anxiety. No doubt this past year has exacerbated people's mental health struggles a great deal. Is your anxiety affecting what else you could give yourself to? And I'm not trying to downplay how difficult a struggle that is. I've been there myself. The point is, you have a choice. They devoted themselves. We have a choice. In this passage, it's not something someone else is going to do for you. They made a choice. And the word particularly means to continue in that choice. It's not a one-time deal. It's a daily thing. Is that not true? Do you not find that? It's not a one-time thing. Or do you think that because you're a Christian, when you woke up this morning, you found yourself dressed and sitting in a chair in church, like you magically appeared here because of a decision you made 20 years ago? Your choice to become a Christian years ago, your choice to believe in Jesus years ago did not put you in your seat this morning. It might have helped, but it didn't do it. It was your choice today to continue in that put you here. Is that not true? It's a daily thing. And it might not have been too difficult to come out this morning, especially the 11:15, the guys at 9:30 had it hard. Might not be a difficult choice to come out there this morning. We're not having to rely on our decision 20 years ago. This morning, yeah, I'll go to church. But in some countries, it really is a difficult thing. And you yourselves know that there's other things in life where that is difficult. Your decision to be a Christian last year, or whenever it was, isn't going to get you through the situation that you face. You need to make that choice today. Every day you devote yourself to that. It's like in Exodus when God gave them bread from heaven, but they had to gather it new every day. You cannot live off of yesterday's grace. You just can't. Thank God His mercies are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. See, Jesus said, "Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself." Each day has enough trouble of its own. Isn't that true? That's why Paul says, don't lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Day by day. Yesterday's gone. It disappears quickly. And tomorrow will come sooner than you think. And tomorrow will have troubles of its own. Troubles that your grace today won't be able to solve, and probably troubles that your worries today will not anticipate. The question is, where is the truth today? Where is life today? Devote yourself to that today. Devotion is not unique. It's not just for the devout. And devotion is not something someone else does for you. So let me finish just with two things. First, an encouragement, and then something to do. The encouragement. The fact that you are here this morning is more significant than you realize. That you give your time to this, these things, wow. If you're anything like me, the fact that you drag yourself to church on a Sunday, everyone's getting a lie in. The fact that you drag yourself out of bed every Sunday for years to be around people who love Jesus. That you drag yourself out of bed on your day off to hear words of eternal life. That you drag yourself out of bed to join a people who pray in faith. To speak and sing truth to one another and praise God together. To remember Jesus' sacrifice together and how he's made us his own. That you drag yourself out of bed, that you make a decision to be around people who proclaim good news and not bad news. That you want to be around people who look toward his appearing, to stir one another up in love and good works. The fact that you give your time to this is way more significant than you realize. The fact that you're here today benefits you in ways that you just don't realize. It does more good to you and the relationships you have. I mean, just imagine. Imagine for a moment if you gave far less time to these things. Imagine you gave less time to hearing the truth. What would your life be like? You start believing the lies. Imagine you gave yourself less time to hearing the good news. Well, you would despair in the bad news of the world. Imagine you gave much less time to being around forgiven people who have faith and hope in the midst of trials. Or you gave yourself less time to remember God's sacrificial love for us. Or you spent far less time with people who remind each other of the promises of God. What hope would you have? What would it do to you? What would it do to us in our relationships if we gave much less time to these things? The fact that you're here today, be encouraged. Be encouraged if you're already giving your time to this. This is not a message to beat you up about how little we do in devotional reading and praying. We could all do more. It's to say that this thing that you're doing right now today is building you up in ways that you don't even realize. It's benefiting relationships more than you know. It's glorifying God. It's increasing your joy, and it's giving you life. Be encouraged. And finally, let me finish with this. Something to do. Now, I know you're thinking, oh no, another thing. Another thing on top of my already busy life. Give it to me. What have I to do now? That's just to say that our devotion is up to us. No one's going to do it for you. These new believers, they didn't need to be told to do that. I don't know what your conversion story's like. For me, I hated to read. I hated reading, writing. I even hated speaking. I know it's unbelievable. I hated that I was terrible at English. I just couldn't be bothered with reading, writing. I was antagonistic towards the faith. When I became a Christian, I just couldn't stop reading this. I couldn't understand half the words, but I couldn't stop reading it. Because I wanted to know Jesus. I wanted to know him. Paul says, I want to know Christ. That's what it's about. No one's going to do it for you. You remember what it's like. the hour I first believed, nobody could stop you. What's happened to all of us? I know I'm preaching to myself, but that's the hope. That's the good news. There's something to do. We can do this. They devoted themselves, so can we. So give your time, brothers and sisters, friends, give your time to attend to the things that will help you know Jesus more. Through the teaching of his disciples, words of eternal life, being around people who love him, remembering him together and praying in his name, even praying to him. In Jesus is life. In him is life. He has life in himself, and he gives life to whom he wills. He is buzzing with life. Get to know him. Get excited each day about the little things that you can give your time to that help you know Jesus more. Pray. More times than not, it uses the devoted word next to prayer. Tuesday night, come out and pray. But even so, in your house, in the busyness and chaos of life, pray as often as a toddler snacks. Constantly. Not long, fancy prayers. But just little bits every day, often. Pray, and if you don't know what to pray about, just give thanks. Always with thankfulness in our hearts to God. Amen. And that's that. You will never, ever, ever be disappointed when you do this. Amen.